With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hi, welcome to Remote Controlled, Variety's TV podcast. I'm Deborah Birnbaum. Every week, we'll bring you conversations with some of the best and brightest in television, working behind and in front of the camera. On today's episode, we're talking about The Affair, with star Maura Tierney and executive producers Sarah Treem and Jessica Rhodes. Stay tuned. So what do you guys think? No spoilers, but I have to say I've seen the next three episodes and they totally deliver. It's so good. So, anyway, more to come. Anyway, I'm Deborah Birnbaum. I'm Variety's executive editor of TV, and I couldn't be more thrilled to be moderating this panel, so let's bring everyone up. We're going to start with the co-creator and executive producer, Sarah Treem. She plays Helen, Maura Tierney. And executive producer, Jessica Rhodes. Yay.
I don't know where to put my feet. This is a little bit we do.
Everybody have water. I'm going to have to share mics, but we'll get through this. Okay. I just want to say, first of all, it's lovely to be on a stage with all women. Just got to give them, you know, all due respect to the guys, but this is a good thing. All right, so what's the issue with L.A.? What do you got? How are you feeling about L.A. these days?
Who are you asking?
I'm going to start with Sarah, because it feels like you're working out some L.A. issues here.
No, I totally am. No, absolutely. I also like Helen's character, find the Pacific Ocean, like, completely ostentatious and ridiculous. And also just, it's so, like, the Atlantic Ocean, I feel like, is such, like, a subtle and an elegant ocean, you know, and it's very changeable, and sometimes the sky and the ocean are the same color, and that's beautiful, and then sometimes they're completely different colors. It's day by day, it changes. And the Pacific is always just blue. And you can't really do anything except look at it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Moore is bi-coastal, so she may have a perspective.
If you have a wetsuit, you can go in.
It's dirty, though.
Yeah. It takes. I agree. I don't disagree. But I like the beach. The expanse of beaches in on the West Coast are kind of, they're so wide.
Yeah, but I feel like even that is like, it's too much. Too much. It's like, why do you need all that beach? You don't. You just need a little beach.
No, it's very excessive. You're right. I stand corrected. So
there was a point I was trying to make in that. So obviously location and setting has been such an important part of the show for the first couple of seasons. So why move it out to LA for the season?
Yeah, a couple of reasons. I mean, I think we felt that that we needed a change for the show. You know, we had been up and down that East Coast for 3 years, and the characters had all been sort of on top of each other for 3 years, and we felt like, you know, people move, and a lot of times, actually, especially if a situation has gotten impossible to navigate, or, you know, or you just need a change or something like that. People move, you know, and they don't do it in television shows because it's hard to move a television show, but they do it in life. And I felt like, you know, pulling a geographical would not be out of character for somebody like Helen, who just like needed a fresh start and a break and was trying to distance herself from the life she left behind. And then we were having a lot of fun with that adage, like, anywhere you go, there you are, you know, so it comes with her. And I mean, it literally comes with her in the form of Noah. But yeah, I don't know. To be totally honest, I didn't know if Showtime would go for it, because it is really unusual. But I do think, I mean, they've been super awesome, and I do think it really gave the show like a sort of a new burst in the fourth season, which was important.
And Maura, how did it feel for you to move?
Well, I had lived in LA for a long time, like about 15 years, and then I've been living back in New York for 5 or so. So on the one hand, it was nice. I have friends there and colleagues there. I love shooting in Montauk. So I, you know what I mean? I did miss that a little bit, even though I was mostly in Brooklyn or Queens or wherever our studios were. But I'm about to say that maybe the most boring thing you might hear all weekend. Get ready. The traffic is a real drag. And I live, my place in LA is in Venice, which I love Venice, but it was far. Like we and the studio was in Culver City, and I was like, awesome. It's a 7-minute drive from my house, and all of our locations are like in the Hollywood Hills or in Simi, very far away. So I got used to being able to take the subway home from work if I wanted to. But I mean, I think it served the show well, and I think the visual. The opposition of what the coast looked like will, I think, make the show interesting too. I mean, right. I think it served the show very well.
And everyone's here. Just you guys are on the West Coast, and Cole and Olufsen are still East Coast.
They still stay there. So this show has the duality of that.
But where is Alice?
We definitely cannot answer that in this panel. that would count as a spoiler.
And then Jessica, talk about why you wanted to join the show this season.
Well, I've been a huge fan of the show, like watching it from season one. And I thought that when Sarah and others reached out to say, do you want to join the show? I was so excited because I don't think there's ever been a show that dives into, it's not just point of view, but that perspective is reality. Mm-hmm. That concept was always so interesting to me, that idea that like, I think it changed a little bit the way I view life, like in every conversation I have with people, because you kind of stop having a conversation about truth and trying to prove a point and just kind of hopefully listen to the other side, because it's not your perspective that matters. And anyway, so I was really excited to be a part of it.
What does that, Sarah, what does that format of shifting perspective allow you to do from a storytelling perspective? It's really come to define the show.
Yeah, it really has. I don't know how to answer that question. We've just been doing for so long that I'm like, what would it be like not to have that as a system? I guess, I mean, just it allows us to dive really deep into character psychologies, you know, deeper than I even anticipated when we started, because everything you see in a character's perspective is from their perspective, so it's filtered through their perspective. And sometimes we push it a little further. Like, I think the earthquake thing, you know, this year was very much like the woman is anxious, and so we're going to see that. And sometimes, you know, it's sort of pulled back, but just that you never let up on it, and we're very diligent in the shooting, you know, and it drives the directors a little crazy sometimes, but like a scene can't start before the character enters it. Obviously it can't continue after a character has left it. We're really only seeing what the character is seeing in the scene. You know, that doesn't mean that there are other things aren't happening in the scene. Obviously when you see the scene from two perspectives, you understand that, but like, I don't know, there's a bit of a rigor to the way that we think about writing it and shooting it that I do think allow, you know, in that way that, like, if you put a framework around something, you really can, you know, kind of dive deeper within it, that allows us to just, and that's the kind of the name of the game in The Affair is character, 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 so it just allows us to go even stronger into that place, yeah.
And Maura, from your perspective as an actor, how do you feel about playing those shifting perspectives? What does that allow you to do? Does it allow you to get deeper into Helen?
You've played like five perspectives at this point.
I've always loved it, and it's always fun, and it's what initially drew me to the material, and it's been so amazing. It's been an amazing journey. It's so much fun. And then this season, there's another one, which will be five, mm-hmm. and I don't know whose it is, but so.
I was going to say, are we allowed to say whose it is?
I don't know, but anyway, there's a fifth one, and no, Sarah and I were like, okay,
someone what? We've met on the show already.
Yes, and we're like, what? Okay, what are we, is there's left so to do? Time, yeah. But we did it.
Yeah.
Like through also with Caroline, through costumes. Like, or Sarah, you had that image, and then we like Caroline took from that image and built a costume. It was really like theater, and then I put it on. And then the writing, and she became truly a different version of anyone we'd seen, and it was so much fun.
Yeah. And I'm going to just, like, sing Maura's praises here for a second, but I feel like with an actress like Maura, she has this ability to just shift and shift and shift, and yet keep it a consistent, obviously it's coming from a consistent place, and so you can see the core of the character every time, but the layers change, and it is just fun, and it does, and we do sort of feed off, like the writing and the acting and the costumes and the sets, like they all sort of feed off of each other, and we keep, you know, and now we've gotten, I feel like in the beginning we were struggling a little bit more with it, but now we've gotten pretty good at it. And
yeah,
we can kind
and
of
I was going to say, that happened really fast. Yeah. Like we're sitting in the wardrobe and then just ideas start coming out, and then it happened, and it was really, it was very fulfilling.
Yeah, and it makes you really challenge, you know, because we did feel like we had done, as where else are we going to go with that character? And then we were approaching it from this new character's perspective. And initially, I mean, this happens with Maura and I a lot, because she's so smart, is like she'll see the writing on the page and be like, like I feel like we could do better, you know, and she's right.
We have discussions.
Yeah, right. Yeah, she's like, I don't, it did take that, right? So we had the concept like to see the Helen character from this new character's perspective, and then we basically did a draft, you know, and was like, maybe it's this, you know, and then it was like, that's not it. Let's try it again. And then it did, the costumes did help us. And it was fun.
How do you guys work together? I mean, you know, how quickly do you count? I'm sorry, Helen. Maura, sorry.
No. Yes, I did that too. I know.
You're just Helen to me.
That's okay.
How do you guys work together? I mean, do you give her notes on her scripts? Do you go back?
It's Sarah's show. I mean, she's being very generous. I give notes sometimes, but I don't write like I'm.
Let me be totally honest. With Maura, the problem with Maura is like she does give notes sometimes. You know, where she's like, I don't know about the scene, or I'm not sure about this. And usually I take them, but sometimes I don't. And when I don't take them, I always regret it. Like
when
I get to editing, and I'm like,
a text saying that it's so fantastic when she says I was right.
Yeah.
But the truth is, also there's some things that you feel strongly about that's the creative, that's the vision, and so that's, I'll do that. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like my notes tend to be very Helen-centric in terms of I'm an actor, so that's what I do. And I think that's where I can be unhelpful in the process is Sarah's thinking globally about the show, you know, and I can lose perspective of this bigger story that's being told.
Right. And I mean, we did have one, I think we can talk about this. We had one argument this year where the character did something that Maura was like, I would never do that. You know, and it was hard to, because she loves the character, and she felt like that was a big mistake, and it was supposed to be
and
a big mistake.
And Sarah was like, well, you're not Helen.
Right, but it was a legitimate point. It was a big fuck-up for the character, and there was a kind of active question, like, did we go too far? You know, are we pushing that character too far at that point? The truth, though, about working with Maura is, like, it's really hard. I'm sorry, you're going to hate me for saying this, but it's really hard to push the character too far because she's so damn likable, you know, that, like, anybody else doing it, you're like, oh, God. But when she does it, you're like, ah. You're like, I kind of get it. You know, like, she totally sells it somehow.
She thought it was a deer.
Yeah.
I was going to say... At the end of the day, she did kill someone. We're awfully sympathetic to her.
It's the writing. No, it's totally the writing. I think it is because it was about their love. Like, it was about them together in the car. It was about that moment. Mm-hmm. That's what salvages her as him. I think it's about the writing as much as it... I mean, I love all the actors, but it's... Who said it? David Chase? Who said... Who decided, when did it become your character? Do you know? And I do respect that. And I think in that instance, it's true. I'm not Helen. And that it just, I just had strong personal feelings about this. But the truth, at the end of the day, I can't just make her perfect because I want her
being
to be.
Boring.
Yeah. And just, you know, not real.
Jessica, how does the experience of working on this show compare to the creative experience you have on other shows you've worked on?
That's a good question. I think this show has such singular vision, and while all shows hopefully, you know, have that, I think there's usually a lot of producers and directors and actors. There's studio. There's usually a lot of layers involved, and it's interesting to me that just as the new member of the team, that there aren't that many layers here. That Showtime, you know, David Nevinson's on Notes Call was there. I mean, it is, there's an insane personal commitment to this show from the network. There isn't aside from production, a studio level layer, and there are no other, you know, producers and until this year. And so I think that that's like really an interesting singular vision that here we are, season four, and it's Sarah's show.
We're still like a startup, though.
Yeah.
It's like you walk into our offices and they sort of look like a dorm room, you know, and then like you walk into like some other offices on the Sony lot and you're like, damn, man, you would never believe the show is going on 4 years. It's just, yeah, we just like to keep it super low-key.
Offices.
You should see the Ray Donovan offices. No, they're unbelievable. Really nice. They've like been professionally designed.
But in there,
yeah,
in there, they have been in the same offices for 4 or 5 seasons.
So have we? Oh no, we haven't been at these offices, right? You're right. You're right.
Yeah, they're nicer.
Right. I just want somebody to walk into our offices and be like, This is a legitimate.
I think we need a frame for the affair poster.
That's a good start.
That to me is the most
just tacked up against the
it
wall.
It is.
Yeah. Yes. And then we basically have like kind of screen fold dividers fold and like boxes
is the tack
everywhere.
Over
and
my face.
Yeah.
Corners.
I just want an actor to like walk in and be like, "Yes, I want to be on this show." As opposed to like,
Well, you know what you can always do. There's always a hotel room, Sarah, if you want to go that route. Ooh, too soon?
You're like, you can't even respond. You just have to be like,
Sorry. Forget that stuff.
We're back. What themes did you want to explore this season that you haven't gotten to do before?
That's a good grown-up question. I think this season, I was really interested in this concept of moving on this season, you know, and how much of that is possible and how much of it is just impossible. You know, like, why do some people seem to move on from relationships? Why do some people never seem to be able to move on from relationships? And we had this interesting conversation at the beginning of the year, which I thought was so significant, which I was pitching the show to... Tamora, and I feel like I can say this because I've said it before, but I had said that I felt like this was the season where Helen is going to forgive herself. I think that's what I said. And we did the whole season, and we got to the end, and there's just this amazing Helen Noah scene at the end, and she did it, and then she came back, and she was like, you know, I think this is actually the season where Helen forgives Noah, which was better, actually. It was more kind of... I think you were right. That's
I didn't know. I just remember you introduced the concept of radical forgiveness, which is like practically impossible.
Right.
And like for Helen to actually maybe achieve some measure of radical forgiveness. But I sort of thought it was more about, I don't know what I can say, but it herself. No. And
don't look at her. Look at me. Oh, come on.
She has trouble. She's got some troubles this season. But but yes, it's about the other direction. It was intended to be about forgiving a man, but then also it's about forgiving herself as well, which however it came, I don't recall.
Right. I guess we were sort of working with this idea like, you know, that theoretically there would be no moving on unless... era had, were some peace that was made
right.
with the past, right? And a lot has happened. And so the question was, what would that look like?
Yeah. It's about forgiving him, and he's not even on a radar necessarily.
Right,
you know,
but
throughout
even,
the season.
Yeah. But in that sort of, that opening, this opening sequence is very important because, like, she can't, he's still hovering. Like, even the more she pushes him away, the more he's in the back of her conscious mind, you know, and so so she can't outrun him, and she can't outrun them. Like, she has to somehow face it and deal with it. It's also, the season's a lot about, I guess maybe we can't say that either. I was going to say mortality.
Yeah, you could say that.
Yeah, it's about mortality. I mean,
that's the comedy part.
Exactly.
Hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah, and I feel like for Helen and Noah, like, that, you know, they, but then for Allison and Cole, there's a lot of
Yeah.
I mean, Cole, you know, just he can't let go. And it's getting to this point where it's just ruining his life. And he knows it. And he doesn't know why he can't let go. And so he goes on this whole journey himself to try to figure that out. And Allison is trying to move on with her own life and, you know, questioning whether or not she's basically, she meets a new guy, but the question is like, is she getting sucked back into familiar patterns? Can she break patterns? Is it possible to break patterns? You know, like, so I was talking to my mom actually, and she was saying that she felt like the season was a lot like the first season, like it, in, just in the, like the trailers that she'd seen, that it was a return to the first season. And I was like, no, because the first season was about an affair and this season is about their relationship with themselves. And she was like, don't say that. to the press. She's like, you need media training. That's not going to sell your show.
It's good. It's very good.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mom.
You're welcome. But I think also to add to that list, Helen has, quote, on the surface, changed her patterns, moved, changed, but she hasn't also. She hasn't, like, also has not.
Right, and Helen, I would say, is one of our most self-aware characters, yeah. Right? And so in the way that self-aware people, because they're so smart and they're so articulate, I'm basically talking about myself, but, but like you can hide really well from yourself when you're super articulate, you know? And so I think there's a little bit of that happening in Helen, too. Like she's so witty and able to sort of out-talk everybody else that like it's harder, actually, in some ways for her to get to the point where she realizes what she actually has to address.
I want to give you guys a chance to ask a couple of questions before we completely run out of time. Anyone have any questions down there? Just yell at this point.
What do you mean?
Why are you here?
Watch them.
Get out.
Just in case anyone didn't hear the question, it was about the genesis of the earthquake and what a theme it is for Helen.
But the question is, what is the genesis of that, yes? Yeah. But I don't know. Sarah made it, thought it, did it. Excellently did it.
Well, It hasn't been a running theme in the show, no. But what we were trying to do this year is, and this was actually important, is like when we moved the show from the East, sort of elemental factors have always been really important in the show. And when we were on the East Coast, the water was a really big theme. Water, storms, like the ocean, that was stuff that we dug into. And that's always been really important, I think, to us as a creative team, is to make sure that the place is as much of a character on this show as anything else, because I guess we do really believe that the place influences the behavior of the people in it. So when we moved west, I really wanted to make sure that we weren't abandoning that concept just because we were in California. So then the question for us this year was, how do we use California, you know, and sort of draw the kind of elemental, the topography of California into the story in the same way that we had done it with Montauk and like the Hudson Valley and the East Coast. So the earthquake was part of that. We go to Joshua Tree at one point. We go to Morro Bay. We're really trying to kind of like invest in California in the same way that we were invested in Long Island.
And for anyone else who hasn't seen it, Showtime 2 is running the reruns starting from season 1 for the next week.
Good plug. Go to the front row. Either of you.
So I'm like so nervous. I think I'm going to have to do some body scanning after this question. So first of all, I think I speak for everyone. This episode was great. It was one of my favorites from the show. My question is, what is the process? Like, how do you guys work the different perspectives? Because I guess it must be very hard to come up with, like, different ways that people see the same event.
Yeah, it's not as hard as you think it is. I think it just requires, like, a mindset, you know, and we're, as writers on the show, we're basically in that mindset at this point. But it is a somewhat organic process in terms of how much of the show do we replay from, like, two perspectives and how much do we just leave alone? Because we don't always replay it. We're not, you know, it would get a little reductive if it was every single scene was seen from the other perspective. So the question is, like, how much do you need to see of your sort of pure story and the character's perspective and what is interesting to go back and forth on? And I guess in this episode, you know, we felt like when... when people get divorced and they're on two different, that's a really, that's, that is a character, that is a perspective rich situation, you know, and especially around the kids and who's trying harder and who's more committed, you know, and what the relationship is, because, and whether or not you're using the kids to kind of box somebody out. I mean, there's so much in there. And so that was the,
so much perceived slights, real and perceived slights. You're right. That's a very fertile ground.
Yeah, like Helen did not mean to leave Noah off the list. That was not at all intentional. And she didn't get his call, and she didn't think he was there. You know, and from his perspective, she's been an asshole for a long time, and she's, you know, that was very deliberate. And from her perspective, it's like, he's a shit. Like, why didn't he get here on time? Yeah. You know, like, why can't he put his own name on the goddamn list? So,
poor Trevor.
I know.
Both very valid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, we've got to end it there. I'm sorry I talked too long. Thank you guys so much for coming. Thank you. It was a great time.
Thanks for listening to this week's show. We'll be back next time with another great episode. We'll be talking about the new season of Better Call Saul. And if you like the show, I'd appreciate it if you could rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Let us know, too, who you want to hear from. What stars and producers should we invite on the show? Email me at podcasts@variety.com. See you next time.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.